Hi, this is Chris Evans recording another Storage Unpacked podcast at Dell Technologies World. This time I'm joined by Rob Davis from Mellanox. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Thanks for this opportunity.
Enjoying the show?
Very much.
Excellent. Could you just tell us what you do at Mellanox?
Sure. I'm the Vice President of Storage Technology, so I overlay all of our different organizations, different product lines. And I came from QLogic, where I was CTO for 15 years, and moved over to Mellanox to basically take their super high-performance networking technologies and apply them to storage.
Fantastic. So I thought it would be really interesting to talk about the subject of smart NICs, because this seems to be, A, technology that's starting to appear in storage products, and B, a technology that Mellanox sells. So as a company to talk to, you seem like the perfect company. But on a serious note, we're seeing smart NICs appear in storage platforms, storage architectures. And really, I'm interested to start off with to understand where the technology came from and why Mellanox built them in the first place.
Sure. So smart NICs are basically a network adapter that offloads the processing of the main CPU. So where did they come from? Efficiency, probably cloud most, but also in storage, the efficiency of the CPU, the lower cost CPU you can put in your storage system, the better. And if you can offload particular functions like we do on the storage area, like NVMe over fabrics, so, for example, encryption, compression, those are areas are processes that are highly CPU intensive, which means the vendor that's building that storage system has to buy a very high-end processor, and it drives the expense of their product up. If they can offload those processes to a smart NIC, they can have a much lower cost point on their products.
Okay, so this didn't originally evolve as a storage solution. It was more of a network offload, and it just happens to be adapted for storage?
I think, smart NICs have not been coined the words, the marketing term smart NIC,
yeah.
But they've been around forever. I mean, think of FPGA coupled with NIC ASICs.
And we had tow cards, I suppose, at one stage.
Exactly, that would be a smart NIC.
Yeah.
It's kind of a very murky area, because what used to be a smart NIC, which would have been a tow card, for example.
Yeah.
Now that then later gets built into the NIC, right, as part
right.
of the NIC. So it's sort of maybe a stepping stone.
Okay. So if we look at the architecture of what these cards look like, they're a network card, and in your case, it's a system on a chip?
So typically, they're a network card that has an addition, whether it's an FPGA, whether it's a processor. In our case, we have a mixture of a processor and hardware offload engines. And so we have it's called the Bluefield Smart NIC. It has a 16-core ARM processor on it,
okay.
A72 technology,
yep.
And a whole lot of different offloads for storage and many other functions. Because we don't only sell this for the storage space, we also sell it in the telco world, the hyperscale, hyperscale cloud customers, security areas, lots of different areas. I just focus on the storage.
On the storage area, side of it.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Just as a reference for anybody who's listening, I might have said this a few times. We have a lot of noise behind us, and I apologize if sometimes the noise does creep up. I think we're next to the Alienware demonstration area, so I think they're cranking that up every so often, so hopefully they'll calm down for a little bit while it's lunchtime. Okay, so system on a chip, offload, and we're starting to see software vendors using it. Now, I've seen mostly in the vendors I've looked at initiator use of that technology, but I guess it could be used in initiator and target from what you've already started to say.
Yeah, on the target side, think about an all-flash array that is full of NVMe SSDs. And with our smart NIC, we put it into those systems, and it allows them to offload the CPU from running the NVMe over fabric stack. So we offload that actually into hardware gates in our Bluefield SoC system on chip. And so when the incoming NVMe traffic comes into the target, it's automatically routed directly to those SSDs without having to touch the local processor except for exceptions and configuration. So it actually runs that CPU utilization right down near zero. Now the maker of that all-flash array can buy a lower-end processor, have a much better cost point on their storage, and also add more features into that mainstream processor. It's crazy to take a processor designed for calculations and move data with it. And that's basically what's happening a lot in NVMe all-flash arrays today.
Right. I mean, that's really quite an interesting comparison to perhaps the offload that you would see, or at least the direct access you might see in some other technologies like, say, RDMA, where you can directly address the memory in other machines by going through the NIC and not going through the CPU to do that. So potentially, I would imagine vendors are really keen on this because from a scalability perspective, they can really scale their platform up without bottlenecking through, as you said, the local CPU and memory on that particular system.
Absolutely, and RDMA is a big part of that offload engine, and NVMe over Fabrics using Rocky or InfiniBand are, you know, where you get the optimum performance. But you can also use NVMe over TCP. There's other neat tricks you can do there because of the processor that's on that SoC. You can actually customize it for your particular application.
Right. So what about at the initiator end and at the host end? Because clearly, great to accelerate the traffic at the target end, where you've got a big storage box where you might want to make sure you can optimize that SSD storage. What about at the initiator? You can use it just as easily there?
Absolutely. So on the initiator side, besides the security and the telco and all the other applications that I'm not going to go into because I'm the storage guy.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, no worries.
On the initiator side, what we can do is actually make that SmartNIC look like a local NVMe SSD. So you can plug it into any operating system, any hypervisor, and instantly have access to NVMe over Fabrics. And with customization, you can actually support legacy protocols. So you can support NVMe over Fabrics, and if you have some legacy storage you also want to be supported, you can just route that to the CPU, and the CPU can take the NVMe over Fabrics and convert it to, say, iSCSI.
That's really quite a powerful scenario, because in a lot of the technology that we've seen today, people tend to talk about NVMe over Fabrics, and you're pretty much tied to the Linux stack in order to achieve that. So are you saying that with a plug-in card like a SmartNIC, you could run a different operating system,
Windows or
like
VMware,
Windows and VMware, absolutely. And then you just appears to look like a local device,
or backports, right? Because a lot of times you've got an older version of Linux or an older version of VMware, because VMware is coming out with NVMe over Fabric support, but you have an older version and you don't really want to touch that because
Right. You'll
affect the applications potentially.
Yeah. Okay. So that's giving you not just the performance benefit, but it's obviously giving you a serious compatibility benefit you couldn't achieve another way.
Absolutely.
That's really quite interesting.
And you can add things like compression or encryption. So if you want to encrypt the data coming out of the initiator, you can encrypt it before it gets sent out by using the SmartNIC's encryption engines or compression engines. And the same at the other end of the wire. If you want to encrypt the data being stored before you store it, you
right.
can encrypt it. And those are very high CPU utilization functions, in compression and encryption. So having them offloaded is very...
A significant saving.
Yeah.
So if we look at that as a technology and we think, okay, so I can put this in the host, I can effectively give what looks like a local drive there. What are we seeing in terms of adoption? Are we seeing storage vendors using that technology and saying, we'll try and pair it up with an initiator and a target? Or are we actually seeing solutions built specifically just for initiator type options?
So typically it depends on the customer. The hyperscalers, of course, they have armies of programmers, and they take these cards and they write their own software for them to support whatever kind of offload they want to do in storage or all the other things. The server OEMs, they love the capability of the way to get instant compatibility with new technologies. So they're packaging their own applications to be specific plug-and-play kind of products, but those probably aren't going to see the market, I'd say, for another year or so.
Right,
okay. Because they're kind of in development phase.
Okay. Is it still early days, do you think, for this sort of technology?
I mean,
we sort of said that it's been around for a little while in other formats, but in the current instantation?
It's early days for the storage piece on the initiator side. Some of those other technologies are much further along and already in production. And on the target side, the NVMe over Fabrics offload we talked about, there's already CMs showing products with that technology today.
Right.
At Flash Memory Summit last year, for example, there were...
And that's why, funny enough, that's one of the areas where I looked at and thought, I need to come and talk to somebody about this technology, because I saw some of the stuff at Flash Memory Summit. And
I think you'll see the initiator side this year. Probably.
This year, right. Yeah. Okay,
that's my prediction.
What about cost then, in terms of building systems? What is the difference? You know, is it adding a significant cost to the development of a system?
Well, it's more expensive than a regular NIC.
Yeah.
Something to say about that in a minute is, well, I'll say it now. What you see today on smart NICs, you typically are going to see in a couple years on the actual NICs, because the functions that really become very popular will get moved into the NICs themselves.
Right.
But the cost is definitely more than a standard NIC. The percentage wise, I don't know exactly. I know for sure they're on our website already, the Bluefield Smart NICs.
Okay.
So I'm sure you can go look up your own pricing.
Yeah, and to be fair, you've already said, Rob, that this is a trade-off between using more cores in an actual server and so on. So, you know, the fact that it might cost slightly more to buy a Smart NIC is clearly offset by the cost of actually building out a more expensive system.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. I apologize for the costing, but I deal with costs at all different levels, and I'm not sure what the retail pricing is.
No, absolutely, and I wasn't expecting you to sort of
rattle off 1995.
Yeah, exactly. I was just, you know, I think that people thought it's going to be double the cost. They might think that's really, you know, difficult to sort of swallow. But
sure,
when you're talking about 10, 20, 30% more expensive, that's probably more acceptable.
Well, and another issue with us is we sell mostly OEM, and I have no idea what Dell price can.
No, absolutely. So let's talk about where companies are using the technology,
sure,
in a bit more detail. Because, and I don't want you to talk in specifics, but you mentioned obviously VMware could be accelerating stuff. That's one scenario. So hypervisors could be. But what about vendors are taking this technology and using it? We're at a Dell show, so I imagine Dell must be involved there.
Yeah, so hyperscalers, you know, Dell's customers, they love this technology because they're currently trying to get the most efficiency they can out of their storage.
Yeah.
And they're doing a new technology called compute storage disaggregation. It has many names, composable infrastructure. Sometimes it's called rack scale.
Yes.
Basically what they do is they disconnect the storage from the CPU within a rack so that they can mix and match the storage requirement to the CPU requirement depending on the application they want to run. So, for example, they can serve up pages during the day and analyze how those pages were used at night, taking different mixes of CPU and storage for those different applications. And they love this technology because what a SmartNIC can do is make that application think it's talking to local storage when it's really remote, which is just what they're trying to, the problem they're trying to solve.
Yeah, I agree with the disaggregated side of things, or composable. And I think the disaggregated one is really interesting for me personally, because I look at it and think, when we go back and think about Fiber Channel, my history is in enterprise systems and deploying Fiber Channel.
Mine as well. QLogic 15 years.
So QLogic to me, as soon as you said you work for QLogic, I'm thinking, how many generations of QLogic cards did I used to install into servers? But that was when they were only sort of 1, 2, 4 gig. Type devices,
wow, one gig, you're way back.
Which
there.
Is a long way back, yeah. But when you look at that, you think, and where was I going with it? My question, I was talking about...
compute storage disaggregation.
Disaggregation, yeah. So when you look at that, you think the centralized storage benefit was significant over the last, say, 20 years. Yeah. It made a lot of sense to have centralized storage. But obviously the complication around building the network, especially on a fiber channel network, that was separate to your IP network, was either expensive or, you know, potentially relatively complex, shall we say.
Okay.
Whereas now, with the idea of being able to make a device look like it's entirely local, that gives you so much more flexibility, because that device could be connected and visible to one host one day, another host another.
Absolutely.
Or even within minutes or seconds. You know, you could swap things around very, very dynamically.
Depends on how good your composing software is.
Yeah. So I think that is an area I think we're going to see more, I think, simply because it just gives people more flexibility.
And the SmartNICs are really well-suited for that because of that onboard processor. They can interface to that composing software very well, out of band. And while an application is running, the next one can be setting up, you know.
And do you think we'll get to the level where you are actually changing the code on the card that dynamically?
I'm not sure if you're changing the code, but you're changing the parameters of where the storage is pointing, what protocols are running, those sort of things, yeah.
Okay, so as we come towards the end of our time, so where do you think this technology is headed? What can you give us a little bit of a teaser for the future? And what can you not tell us?
Well, I can tell you that we have a roadmap for new, you know, SoC chips out into at least 2022-ish time frame.
Right.
So from our perspective, you know, they're here to stay.
Okay.
From the perspective of the industry, it seems like, you know, all of our competitors are doing them as well. Intel just entered the space a few months ago. It's a wide open space.
Okay. It's good to see that storage still has significant value, and we still have to put a lot of effort into it. and it continues to evolve, and I hope that continues to be the case for a long time forward.
I agree with you. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thanks, Rob. I appreciate it. If people want to go and find out a bit more, is there anywhere on the website they should go?
Absolutely. If you go to the Mellanox website, we have a whole section on SmartNICs and some white papers and blogs and pointers to other stuff. So take a look and... we are very always looking for new customers in this space, so feel free to reach out, and we do POCs, and we're happy to look at your problems and solve them in storage.
Brilliant. Okay, thanks, Rob. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Storage Unpacked. For show notes and more, subscribe at storageunpacked.com. Follow us on Twitter at Storage Unpacked, or join our LinkedIn group by searching for Storage Unpacked Podcast. You can find us on all good podcatchers, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Thanks for listening.